So the book of Deuteronomy instructs the people of Israel to remember their history, but not just to remember what happened, but to notice how God was present in their lives and in their stories, to notice how God's hand was there to guide them, to protect them, to lead them, and to notice what God has done for them, and to be grateful. Now, it is interesting to recall, or to note, that the book of Deuteronomy was written when the people of Israel were living in exile. Babylon had overrun Israel, conquered it, taken its rulers and priests and most of its educated population into captivity. They were taken to Babylon to live far away from their homeland. The nation that they loved was dominated by a foreign power. They were forced to pay taxes to that power and to submit to their laws. The freedom that they had so cherished was gone. And it is in this context that the writer of Deuteronomy instructs the people to remember their history, to give thanks for all the blessings that God has bestowed upon them, to remember the ways that God helped them in the past. And that remembering would bring hope for the future. That remembering is what builds faith and inner strength. Thursday is Thanksgiving. And so today, let us remember the history of our Thanksgiving celebration. Well, we all know, remember that Thanksgiving originated in the autumn of 1621 when the Massachusetts Bay Colony governor, William Bradford, invited neighboring Indians, as they were called then, now we call them Native Americans, at the time they were referred to, the Native people were referred to as Indians. And he invited them to join the pilgrims for a three-day festival of celebration, feasting, games, and diversion. So in our mind's eye, we see the magazine cover depictions, right? And the grade school plays and all the commercial displays, you know, the pilgrims with their funny hats and their shiny shoes, shooting wild turkeys with those absurd blunderbuss guns that they had, and the pilgrim women, you know, with their plain dresses and their little bonnets, playing with the little pilgrimettes, you know. And we forget what the first Thanksgiving was really like. After arriving in the New World, the pilgrims spent their first winter aboard ship. 47 of the 102 immigrants, that's almost half, had succumbed to disease and died, probably the same plague that had killed 95,000 of the 100,000 coastal Indians. 95% of the Indians had died from this plague. In the spring, the Mayflower returned to England, leaving the hardy survivors atop Coles Hill, where they buried their dead and planted seeds over the graves to conceal their tragedy. It was not a good idea to let the possibly hostile indigenous people know how badly depleted their numbers were. Then in March, a tall Indian named Somoset appeared shouting this peace cry in English. Much welcome, Englishmen! Much welcome, Englishmen! The small band of settlers and the decimated Indians desperately needed each other. Somerset introduced the pilgrims to his friend, and I'm not sure I'm saying this name correctly, Maasowit, who was the local chief. And one of the chief's braves was named Squanto. Now, Squanto had once been a slave in Spain. and later a resident in the home of an English gentleman from whom he had learned English. And in this very strange way, Providence had provided the newcomers with an interpreter, a guide, and a teacher. The 35 religious nonconformists and 67 assorted adventurers, soldiers, and tradesmen had come seeking freedom and opportunity in what was known as the New World. We know the history. Hundreds of millions would follow them in pursuit of the same vision. But in 1621, the tenacious handful of pioneers and their Indian friends had little time to think about lofty goals and aspirations for the future. They were just grateful that they had survived. So over the ensuing decades, the custom of thanking God during the harvest season spread and was widely observed, particularly in New England. But it was not until a descendant of those New Englanders, Abraham Lincoln, was in the White House that the Fall Festival became a national holiday. It was in 1863, at the height of the Civil War, that President Lincoln officially proclaimed Thanksgiving a national holiday. At a time when Americans were dying by the hundreds of thousands to preserve a nation that those pilgrims had founded, Lincoln must have felt a need to set first things first, to remind the nation of the God who is the author of liberty and the source of all our blessings. It is a wise leader that knows that giving thanks is good medicine. It's kind of ironic, isn't it? One would think that people would be most thankful during times of prosperity and victory, but often that's not true. So often it is hardship and deprivation that makes us grateful for the blessings that we have received. It is then that we notice the little things that fill our lives with joy, the things that during good times we might not have even noticed. I still vividly remember 17 years ago after 9/11 how frightened I felt and how aware I was of how fragile life is. And I just remember holding my baby daughter so close and just every day giving thanks for her, just for her life that she was with me and we were safe. Looking at my husband and just being grateful that he was alive and that we were together and that we lived fairly securely, because I was so acutely aware how quickly it can all disappear. I remember being profoundly thankful for my freedom, for relative security, for the right to vote. All those things that just a week before I had taken completely for granted. Now, as we watch these fires and are aware that the entire town of Paradise is pretty much gone, and again, I'm reminded how quickly it can all disappear, how fragile all of our blessings are. And in an odd way, it makes me all that more grateful for what I have, grateful for my home, grateful for the security that I have. It's ironic that hardship gives rise to gratitude. And gratitude is then the key to a joyful life. So I invite you today to recall your own personal stories. Recall your history and notice how God has walked with you through that history. Notice the times when challenges were overcome, when providence seemed to just drop a gift into your lap. When a way was opened for you, when you just couldn't see a way, and then it opened. Notice the gifts that you've been given, and notice the little blessings that fill your life. It is in noticing that we see God. And that, my friends, is the greatest gift of all. When we see God in our lives, our hearts overflow with joy and happiness and gratitude. When we see God in our lives, every day becomes a day for celebration. When we see God in our lives, every day is Thanksgiving Day. May it be so. Amen.